Today, we have another episode of the Wenner Folsom podcast, your source for battle-tested leadership and resiliency. And we got a great guest for you today. I'm really excited to have Aaron Michaels joining us. He has an MA in cognitive semiotics, and he specializes in adult romantic attachment, courtship, and how the brain interprets love. He spent over 15 years experience as an embodiment coach in the field of dating, relationships, and sex. Yes, we're going to be talking about sex today and topics around sex. And additionally, is why it's really important, he spent a lot of time working with men and full spectrum issues from premature ejaculation, penetration anxiety, and a mix match of arousal to sparking attraction. So basically, all the things related to sex, there's so much shame around this in general. And a lot of times men just don't talk about it. So we're looking forward to dive into this topic today so that one, we can take some of the shame out of the closet and normalize this because it's a big problem amongst men in general. And to find some really grounded strategies or what we call battle tested ways that you can incorporate this to ultimately, how do you have better sex, right? How do you have more intimacy, more connection in your relationship? How do you have better sex and live a fulfilling life? So really happy to have you joining us today, Aaron. Welcome.
I am extremely happy to be here. I loved our last call and I'm looking forward to this podcast.
Awesome. So I thought I'd jump right into that because I know before we get into some of the other stuff around just good sex, I thought we maybe start off with some of the things around what you've spent a lot of time with, because a lot of men end up struggling with some of those big pieces that I just mentioned, from premature ejaculation, penetration anxiety, some of those big topics, or even ED. Let's just dive into that for a second. I'd like to know your perspective around that and what you've worked with and how you've helped men work through some of those issues.
Well, some of the things that are interesting, there's been some recent statistics being let out that whereas erectile dysfunction ED issues have been predominantly kind of like a quote unquote plus 40 or plus 50 year olds type of issue and primarily tied to heart problems, now they're finding that the fastest growing population of people that have erectile dysfunction issues are actually men from the ages of 30 and under. And as opposed to being strictly from a physiological perspective, it actually, or being the culprit, is actually has to do with psychological issues, primarily around anxiety. And a lot of men, they've found, as opposed to being willing to actually speak about it, would rather not have sex or break up. So the interesting thing is actually how then to address this. And this is primarily where I work a lot with men on communication skills, but also really what does it mean to open one's heart? Because we often are thinking that the reason why things are going wrong is there's something wrong with my, can I say the word cock? Something wrong with my penis.
Yeah.
All right. And actually talking to other groups that also work with this, they found a lot of men do not respond to or identify with the whole erectile dysfunction because they feel that, again, this is someone who would be older than them and they're in their 30s. And so actually the terms that they more have kind of like feel more comfortable with is that they struggle with getting it up. And this can happen before penetration. This can happen during penetration that they lose their erection, or then that they would come before they would like to, or for some people as well, that they are not able to have an orgasm at all.
I really love this topic because in my research and just, we have a lot of our community in K4 does a lot of work on the long NoFap. And if people aren't familiar with that, it's essentially porn and masturbation in general. And so I know you got some really healthy alternatives to that, that we haven't done as deep into. And even myself, I had a porn addiction and myself of moving away from some of those, you start to realize in the research, the dopamine receptors in the brain and a lot of these same things correlate to heavy porn addiction. And so I know that's two things that are coming up. One, that piece alone is the correlation with the dopamine receptors and the porn addiction, as well as you're talking about anxiety. And what I know about the nervous system is when you're in an activated, we call it an activated state, but a sympathetic state, you're not able to get an erection, right? So some of this stuff is, are you able to get regulated in your body, or are you living in a high tense state and then moving into try to have intimacy? And if you're offline, you're triggering your partner to be offline, right? So you're not going to be able to get into a great place. So is that part of this? Or I'm curious to know your perspective or to go a little bit deeper there.
Well, I mean, some of the things that we have kind of a misconception around is that we need to pump blood into the penis and that requires then this effort. Whereas the truth is actually that the valves that allow the blood to flow into the penis need to relax and open up for the blood to flow in. And then when the penis comes into erection, those valves close off and that blood remains there, as opposed to us constantly needing to squeeze our pelvic floor muscles to push it in. So having an understanding around the biomechanics somehow for some people is enough to kind of go, oh, okay, I can relax with this. Now, I would say in addition to this, and I think this is something that can happen to people that are practicing NoFap, which I find interesting because I was like, what does FAP mean? So I went to go look it up. And when I looked up the word FAP, it means pleasure, self-pleasure. And so no self-pleasuring to me was like, I don't know if that's really what we want here. However, I understand completely. And I think this is why most people will revert to the NoFap, because it's like, well, masturbation happens with pornography and it's a race to ejaculate. It's like scratching an itch. And that's where I would like to reframe this and look at, well, actually, how can masturbation be our training ground for great sex? And that's on the biomechanical understanding of how we habituate ourselves. But I think there's also a deeper thing underlying it, which is that if we've always practiced masturbation, which, I mean, the Latin term means to defile oneself, so this isn't a new term. I mean, we could maybe say just self-pleasuring, is to have to address the kind of underlying issues of either shame, or that we need to practice this kind of like in the closet without other people knowing, or it needs to be something fast, or that if it is always associated with doing it with pornography and one can't imagine it beyond that, then we are essentially adopting a posture where we're bent over a computer screen, so our body isn't actually open. Normally we have nothing to do with our heart, and we're always just going for that more and more extreme visual that then doesn't actually correspond to what happens when we go into the sexual act with a partner. And then two things normally happen. Either we end up fantasizing about the pornography we had to be able to get the erection with our partner, or even if we don't do that, we have such an association with sex because most of the times that we've touched our, most of the times our penis has been touched has been by ourselves. And so we automatically associate any time we get touched with that kind of whole emotional baggage, which then, especially as I know many of your men really have a direct focus on, I forget what the five pillars are, but like with one's career or with one's partnership and with spirituality, it's like, how do these things combine? And even if you love your wife or your partner or whoever you're with, it's the question becomes, well, how do I act out the act of sex in a way that helps us get towards the goals we want in our life? Or even, how do I embody a sexual experience that honors my partner in the way that I truly love them, that doesn't get shown in pornography? And so our body mechanics will do the pornographic movements and it doesn't come in alignment with how we actually feel towards our partner and the true things around love that we wish to express. So one of the things I'll often ask people is, tell me some things that you would associate with the word love. And typically people will say trust, respect. They will also say things like being present and attentive. And then I'll ask, well, okay, well, how does those ideals get translated into the act of sex? And then normally there's a very blank look because those aren't things that we see in pornography. And if it hasn't been displayed for us, how do we actually know how to embody it? And from a religious perspective, if we know that sex is sacred union and two bodies are becoming one, again, how does that happen? We get all kinds of instructions in religion around how to pray, around how to be in communion with others in many different areas. But when it comes to sex, we're normally told, wait until you're married and then it's going to magically be okay. But we have things that come up with pain. We have things that come up with shame, anger, fear and anxiety, boredom. These are all real things that need to be addressed. And in the same way that we have different rites or rituals that bring us into proper relationship with God, What are the rituals and rites that bring us into proper relationship with ourselves in the act of self-pleasuring or in relationship to our partner?
Yeah, I think this is such a great topic because, again, we're sexual beings and it's just not talked about. And there's a lot of shame. I mean, if you look in most men's circles, guys, it's funny. I've talked to a lot of women. A lot of women will talk about all the details, like in their friend. It depends on the age. Like the older you get, they don't really talk about it. But like the younger generations are very detailed. And most men, we're big picture. Like we don't talk about details. There's no explanation. So when you're bringing up and anybody that's listening, it's like, how are we taught about sex? How are we taught about sex? How are we taught about relationship with self? How are you taught about the act? And a lot of men either learn from, because guys don't talk about it. They don't instruct each other. And so if you do learn, a lot of men do learn from porn. And so I think we're unpacking some of the, if guys are not experiencing the level of connection or great sex that they do want, this is a great conversation to start to invite. What I'm just repeating what you said, what are you doing with your body? What is your experience with pleasure with yourself? Is it open and connected in your heart? Is your body relaxed and open and expressive? Or is it constricted, tight, right, focused on a screen? And so what I'm hearing you say is these are some of the things that start to form the problems that if you're not having good sex or you're not having feeling full or getting it up, as you mentioned earlier, these are the things that start to add to that, right? So if I'm hearing
you correctly. It would be kind of like if you do bodybuilding competitions or even if you were to do, like, let's say, a powerlifting competition, if you're training in the gym one way and then expecting to perform differently in the competition, it's just a numbers game. How many repetitions have you done a certain way? That's the way you're going to naturally do it. So if we're looking at stroke repetitions, well, guess what's going to happen? If most of your masturbation experiences or self-pleasuring experiences are 5 minutes and under, it's no surprise that the average sexual experience lasts between 5 to 7 minutes.
I also love what you're saying is it's a whole experience, right? It's intimacy is the act of sex, which I think the Gottman Institute says most men are complaining they don't have enough sex and most women are complaining there's not enough intimacy. And I feel like what you're doing is you're starting to bridge that gap of like, hey, intimacy starts with ourselves. What's our relationship with intimacy with ourselves? Yes, what are our self practices and moving away from, because I think right now there's two paths. It's either like you do it on your own porn, your own release practices, or you're in partnership, but it's like, hey, how do we create a new paradigm of what are your self pleasure practices with yourself that aren't using the old tools that are constricted, porn-based, not intimacy and connected? And how do you start to create your own self-rituals so that you can now be preparing for intimacy with another partner, right? Is that the new path?
Absolutely. And I think too, if you were to look at most intimacy and even like sex education that is not your traditional sex education, but like kind of sex positive sex education, people are typically being instructed on communication skills or what to do with foreplay or what to do after the act of penetration, which are all absolutely important. But it's one of the reasons why I specifically want to address the act of penetration, because that is where there is a huge lack of translating all of the practices that we'll do with intimacy. And I think intimacy is also quite an interesting way to look at it, as opposed to, I think what intimacy most people will think of is this kind of candlelight romantic dinner. But actually, if you were to look at, well, I mean, the Latin word intimacy means to impress upon. So the thing becomes intimacy is actually whatever impression it is that you're leaving with the person. So if you are leaving a romantic impression or a lustful impression or a committed one, that's the impression you leave in their system. And this is what they get used to, kind of the way that, for instance, with sex is always going to go. And so a lot of men will be resistant around intimacy because they think it means that it has to be romantic. And most women feel their intimacy isn't being met because it's not romantic. And I would like to actually look at intimacy as a definition of your ability to express your intentions, your desires, and then to be able to have them met. If that is the impression that happens over and over again, then with this general kind of definition, there is room for more sexual experience or a romantic experience, or even this is just our practice that we have together. And it gives the ability for variety around this topic, which is extremely important because your intimacy needs even from whether it's a woman or a man, your intimacy needs can change from moment to moment. And even during the act of sex, maybe you want to start off really close and romantic, but then as things pick up, maybe it will become a little bit more spicy and just very sexual. I don't want to use the word lustful because that has connotations in the religious circles as automatically being sinful, but I mean more of just a physical desire that you're meeting the person kind of on this more primal level.
So big picture, I'm hearing a couple of things. In order to have good sex, one, you have to have a good practice with yourself, a self-pleasure practice with yourself, which I'd love to get into that in a minute. Second, it's starting to dialogue and have really good conversation between your partner. And that's area. It's one of the areas I actually find is lacking the most, is there's no talk. I've talked to women that are like, oh, in 25 years of marriage, we never once talked about sex. Or like literally there's no conversation. So I think in talking about it, and there's a lot of shame with some of that. So sometimes just looking at the wounds, people could be like, oh, I don't want to share because I don't want to lose my partner. So we go into nice guy or we go into savage. As a lot of times is how we shadow out, is we just take it. Or a lot of times we shut down and we totally shut down our needs and expression. I'm just looking at the masculine side because yeah, we do work with a lot of men. So I see that a lot on the masculine side. We either just say, hey, I shut down my intimacy or my ability, and I'm just going to be a little bit more savage and try to get my needs met. Or two, I'm going to just shut down all my needs and meet my partners. Is that what you see as far as the communication? And how do they bridge that communication to start talking about it in a way that adds value to both partners and is safe to start that conversation?
So I recently had a coaching with a couple. And what was very interesting was when I asked to the woman, I was like, hey, what is it you'd like? And she's like, I think I would like some more intimacy stuff. I asked the guy, what do you like? I want some more sex techniques. Very standard. However, once everything starts and we went through the process, and I'll tell you the practice that I had them do, which I think would be great for your tribe to try out, is that at the end, it was the woman who wanted to learn more on the techniques. And the man said, you know what? I have never, ever had a chance to ask for the things that I want, and then to hear that be just listened to and heard. And the person said this was the most important conversation, meaningful conversation they'd ever had in their life. And more than the techniques, this was what he was interested in. So I think these things really aren't an either or, and it's how do we bring this together holistically? Because it all fits together. And I think something even more than just how do we communicate verbally is what about our body communication? Because for instance, with issues around consent, it can become a huge head game of how to ask yes, no, maybe, and all these different things. But if we do not pay attention to what the body is saying, if the body's in a yes state or the body's in a no state, you're just going with what the person thinks they want. But then after, when the body reacts, which might not correspond to what the person's thinking, all of a sudden there's a big problem there. Whereas if we can be conscious to what the body's going on, we might see a person say, okay, yes, I want to, but they're frozen or closing in on themselves. If you can be an attentive lover and actually say, you know what, not tonight, or let's wait, or I'm not sure this is what you really want, like that is going to have you stand out above and beyond because you've actually taken the time to really tune in to the person's body. And the beauty is, as opposed to having to learn 100 different techniques to deal with all these different issues, if we can start to get some good practices on how we tune into our own body first by our own self-pleasuring and then understand how to feel into another person's body, you're not having to learn separate stuff. And instead you have just a very basic way to start to relate to a person, and everything else becomes, how can you add new tools to your toolbox to express yourself? It's kind of like, if you want to learn salsa dancing or something, you'll get your basic three steps, or even with boxing, you have your 1, 2, and 3. And then from there, when you have a good foundation, all of a sudden the rest of the things start to come naturally as you learn body mechanics, as you learn how to communicate. And then you're not having to just memorize a list of 100 different things.
Hey, we thank you for listening to the Wenner Folsom podcast. Just a couple quick notes. First, if you are a man and you're looking for an honorable and inspiring group of men to hold you accountable and challenge you to grow in your relationships, your fitness, your career, your finances, and your life, go to www.k4men.com. And if you are a veteran, first responder, or man or woman who deals with trauma, and you are looking for some resiliency tools and skills for you, your team, and your organization, go to valorresiliency.com. Hope to see you there. Back to the podcast. Yeah, one thing that comes up really strong, and I want to get into this next practice, but we also have a lot of, in addition to a lot of men that work really hard, live in high stress jobs, we also have a lot of potentially first responders, veterans listening that live in high trauma environments. And one thing I'm tracking is if you live in a hypervigilant state, meaning if you're always on and you've lived in a high trauma space and you're not doing regulation practices, and if you listen to some of the previous podcasts, we talk about that, you're not in your body. And so if you're not in your body, there's no way, one, you can feel you. So that means you're not present, and there's no way you can feel your partner. So with at least the K4 men in here have been weaponized with tools to get regulated, regulate and get into their nervous system. So one of the reasons this is so important is if you're offline, you can't feel yourself or your partner, period. But if you get regulated first, you're allowed to drop in your body, you can start to feel the subtleties. And when you can start to feel the subtleties of yourself, you get to see your subtleties of your partner. And the body either, I like what you said, it either contracts or it opens. And so for somebody that's like, what are you guys talking about? A really easy, subtle thing to notice is just start to pay attention is, are you contracting or are you relaxing? Is your partner contracting? Are they relaxing? And if they're contracting, it probably means no. Or you can ask the question like, hey, is this okay? Or you could do a check-in around that to just check in, because they may not know and they may say yes and then relax, or they may say no. And then you give them permission to say, hey, what, now's the conversation, right? Yeah. Hey, what doesn't feel good? Or would you like something else? And so I just want to make sure that's aware, because when you're present, you can start to feel that, again, it's contraction, expansion. And the expansion means yes, typically, but you can check in. And contraction means the body may be saying no, even if they're saying yes. And if their body's saying no, it's not going to be good in general.
Well, what I would encourage is some of these self-regulation practices, bring it into your self-pleasuring practice. Actually, you don't need to change anything. I don't even know what those self-regulating practices are. But if you were to do them, I guarantee you, during self-pleasuring, this is very important, because what happens is normally we've associated touching our penis with going offline and going into a prefunctory mode. And so if we can start to repattern that very quickly, it will be easy to translate those skills then into the bedroom. The other thing is when, well, we can get into that later.
Yeah. And I just want to pattern this for, this is specifically for men that are looking for a female partner, just because I have a lot of awareness with a lot of women that have told me this. This is what they're craving more than anything, is presence and connection and the ability to attune. So when it comes to good sex, your ability to attune to this is the difference from somebody saying no and you checking that. Like, it's a massive win. It's all about safety. In my, at least from the lens I look through, if you can feel safe in yourself and you can create safety, that's what relaxes the body to open. This is such an important conversation when it comes to having good sex. And this is what I hear a lot of women wanting, is a man to be able to lead that. So at least in the man-woman context.
So one of those words, like that word presence, very important concept and important practice. But then I always ask, but how do we then, from an embodied perspective, actually do presence? And most people think presence means like good eye contact and maybe also then checking in verbally, but what's going to make you check in verbally? So presence practice I give for guys, and you don't have to do this just during sex. If you really want to get in sync with another person's system and start to be present, pay attention to their breathing, match their breath. If you do that, you're literally taking in everything on that person. When you match your breath, you'll have much better access to their felt state. And then here's the key. If you want to do dominance, you don't need to have leather whips and chains. What you do is the person with the most sound, regulated nervous system is always the one that runs the crowd. Like, you are the one that has that dominant state. So if you match a person's breath, and then you really want them to get to tune into you, you will slow your breath down just a bit, take a fuller breath, and then start to slow that pace down. Notice what happens in their body. They will either start to relax, or it might even start to trigger them because they're having to relax. And then you can literally just say, even in the act of sex, is breathe with me. All of a sudden now, you've done several things. You become very present. You've also taken kind of charge of it. And now you're leading things in the direction that you want. And then from your breath, you start to time your body movement. And if you want to speed up, you'll speed up your breath. Or if you notice their breath is getting too fast or their breath is starting to speed up, then you pick up the pace. So all of a sudden now, everything starts to have a very real embodied kind of state that you can like physically, which I think is so important for us men, be able to grasp onto, as opposed to, I'm just trying to keep eye contact. That way then, all of a sudden, presence takes a real meaning. And this is the same thing then when you're doing self-pleasuring. Be aware of your breath. If you feel that you're getting ready to ejaculate, slow your breath down. If you want to actually not just localize sensation to your genitals, start to feel your toes and your fingers throughout, and we can get into more of like how I would start to expand one's sexual practice and how I've worked with men to be able to do it. And it isn't rocket science. It's actually quite simple things. And the beauty is that it then translates very easily into the bedroom. So you're not having to do one practice one place and another practice another.
Yeah, I love this. Let's keep going deeper into this because I feel like this is where you're leading to self-pleasure. The one thing I want to note is two things. I heard you say the most regulated partner is the dominant partner. And I just want to put a note there. I think some men think dominance is loud and aggressive and hurtful. And to me, a lot of that's actually adolescence. So I just want to make, like, hit that on the head. It's actually the one that's the most regulated. And you naturally lead from an opening perspective, not an aggressive, just my own lens on that. And then second, I liked how you said, I think a lot of men, when they want to slow down, they try to think of, which means they go somewhere else. Instead of getting into the body and going into your fingers and your toes and your fingers, they actually, a lot of men have said, oh, think of this bad image.
Think of grandma or count sheep or whatever.
Yeah, which basically takes you somewhere else and you're not present anymore. So you've just gone somewhere else. Yeah. So I love what you're reaffirming is stay present, stay in the body, go to a different place in the body or slow the pace down, right? If you're in a dominant place, you're controlling the pace from a noticing what's needed. So would you go a little bit deeper in some of these self-pleasuring practices so that a man's going, okay, wait, I want better sex. Let me learn some of these different skills. What do I need to start with to start working on this?
Well, this issue around slowing down, I think, is also something else that if you hear go slower, especially from a woman, a guy's like, I already was going slower. And it's kind of almost like hearing not so fast, but you're not actually finding out what to do. So the beauty then of, and I'll go through this whole process of tying it back to the breath, is that this naturally will find out what slow is for between the two of you. And then when sex starts to pick up, it'll be something that you're both synchronized on. So what I would do in terms of the self-pleasuring practice and how I've helped a lot of men work with this is, first of all, learning how to actually breathe correctly into the pelvic floor. Most of us are so trained on squeezing our pelvic floor, or even if we're in an anxious state, or frankly, because of stress, our normally the anus or the perineum is very tight. So if all we've done is started to squeeze this, or even the way that we sit when our butt is curled in, even like how I'm doing right now, not on the edge of my chair sitting like this, you restrict your breathing because your stomach is collapsed in and your pelvic floor is naturally going to be tightened. So we have this sitting culture. So the first step is really being able to breathe into the perineum. So actually, if you were to identify your pelvic floor muscles, which are the ones you use to stop your urinary stream or increase your urinary stream, what you want to be able to do is be able to lightly push out that pelvic floor with every breath. So that way your body isn't just, people know normally like just the chest breathing without the belly breathing can add to stress. Well, I would take it even further that you have chest breathing, which opens up. But if you were to take your hands on the sides of your ribs and breathe into them, that'll give some of the diaphragmic breath. And then if you were to place your hands behind your lower back and on your belly, and take a breath, you could feel how that expands as well. But then the other one is actually take your hand on your pelvic floor. And as you inhale, allow that pelvic floor to push out. Now, because a lot of us are so used to inhaling and squeezing the pelvic floor, then what happens is that this can seem very backwards at first. So the way to kind of get over this first hump would be to push out your pelvic floor lightly, hold that push, and then take a deep breath into your belly and notice how that push can expand further. When you've done that, imagine your whole body is like a balloon. So it's just expanding in every single direction. This is going to help a lot with the pelvic floor tension that's there, but also as opposed to the stop and squeeze and hold method, this is going to help you be able to literally regulate your arousal system during the act of sex. Or if you're on your own, regulate your arousal system as you're self-pleasuring. And I'd recommend that you start this first with yourself. Now, the second thing is most of the times we get into this kind of posture in front of the computer where we're leaning over ourselves, we're curled in, we're focused on the screen, we're not feeling our own bodily sensations, and it's our hand that's moving. Well, when it comes to sex, it's not just your hand moving, your whole body moves. So if you actually want to start to move sensation and delocalize it just from the head of your penis, you will be able to start, one, I would recommend stroking away from the body so that you can practice different types of strokes, different types of touches. And when you identify what your arousal cues are, the things that maybe cues to you, like I'm about to come, then you can start to change the stroke. Or in this case as well, I recommend that the person starts to keep their hand more still and begins to move their body into the hand. This way, when you go into your sexual practice, you're going to know how to breathe while you are thrusting or twerking, which is reversing your hips backwards. This way, then you learn those body mechanics, and as opposed to just having to stop, which can be difficult for a woman, because a lot of times when she feels your arousal and your excitement, that's also going to get her excited. And then when you feel her arousal and excitement, us guys can go over the edge before them. So the key again isn't to cut off your arousal, because that is honestly one of the greatest pleasures that a woman has, is to feel your arousal. And you should be springboarding off of each other's arousal to go higher and higher, and then develop the ability to maintain that sexual energy and allow the pleasure to go and go and go. And this can be done in several different ways. But before we get into the long-term game, just from some body mechanics, it would be, again, find out, activate your whole pelvic floor. Get used to feeling all of your body. And I call that sensualizing. In other words, feel into your five senses. What does the room smell like? What does your mouth taste like? What is the temperature in the room? What does good sex sound like to you? And you'll learn, okay, these are the things that normally put me over the edge. And those will be the very things that you will, once you kind of get comfortable having high levels of arousal, you'll even play with the things that you know would push you over the edge. And again, learn how to regulate that system, but not by decreasing pleasure or not by disconnecting from your sensory system, but actually connecting into all of it.
Wow. Super important. And I love a lot of these distinctions. It's all body-based. And I want to normalize this for anybody that may be listening or it's like, what are we talking about? And I want to normalize, sometimes when we don't understand something, we shut down or it can feel uncomfortable or outside the box. But let's just look at this as like, hey, what if you're learning new ways to interact with your body and new ways to expand pleasure and new ways to stay present and connected instead of going somewhere else? And so if you're listening, you're not having good sex, or one of you is not, it means you're both not. Even if one of you thinks you are, my experience has been if one partner's not, you're both not. And so this is a deep practice to start to get into your body, to actually start to come online and develop a lot of new skills. It just takes some learning and some getting outside the box and learning some new ways to interact with yourself, new patterns, new habits. We only got like a couple minutes left. So what would be some of the best things that you can share in addition to what you started to unravel? Anything else? Maybe let me look at it a different way. by practicing this, what can men look to experience from starting to practice this, starting to actually develop these habits and with themselves and with their partner? What can things start to look like? What's the goal from this that they can start to look forward to?
Well, let's hit the communication part, and we'll hit also the last kind of part on the body mechanics. So just to tie off that last bit on the body mechanics, a lot of times men are thinking, okay, well, semen retention is a matter of how many days or weeks that I go on without ejaculation. And that can be a bit intimidating at the beginning, because if you're used to maybe having your orgasm three times a day, or if you're used to having it, you know, maybe once every 3 days or whatever that regular thing is, you're like, oof, but if I don't do that, then I'm only going to build up more pressure inside my system. And then when I go and have sex, it's just going to explode everywhere. So as opposed to looking at how many days, what I would do is I can recommend men to actually look at each session. So even if it's just get an erection the first time and then stop and then return to it 15 minutes later or in the evening, this is like one win when your body goes, ah, sex doesn't mean that it has to only end when I ejaculate, which for a lot of guys, that's the thing. And so therefore, the body's always trained in an ejaculation. And if you really want a woman to know that sex can be for her, not just for you, the second that you actually quit ejaculating as the only way that the two of you end, and you're like, no, I'm good, this is actually for you, that is going to cement it into her body as truth. And until then, you can talk and say whatever, but she knows from her experience, sex only ends when the guy ejaculates. And therefore, she's always going to be like, that's for the guy. If you start to change it the other way, all of a sudden, she's going to start to go, oh, this can be something for me. And she will be coming to you for it. The second thing, when it comes to communication, start to communicate with yourself first. And when you're in the sexual act of self-pleasuring, ask yourself, what are your desires? Where do you truly want to be met when it comes to sex? What is it that makes you feel good? What are your, secondly, your fears? What things are you afraid of with sex? And do it during your self-pleasuring, because what you think you might be afraid of or what you want outside of it, as opposed to when you're in it, is very different. Any of you that have done some sparring with a bag, it's one thing to think about what's going on there. It's another thing when you're actually in the ring or when you're actually sparring with a person. And hopefully then you can get those kinks out. So that way, then when you go into the ring for an event, you're not having to think anymore, but you have repatterned yourself to address whatever those the outcome you want to achieve and the fears. And the second thing is what are your curiosities? And curiosities are things that you would like to explore, but maybe you have some anxiety. If you can have that conversation with yourself, if you can journal that out, then you're going to be much more comfortable with yourself when you then have that conversation with the other person. And if they start to react strongly, you're going to be able to find your center point more, because you have learned what you like sexually and also can communicate with yourself about it, which translates into confidence in the act. And I don't mean kind of this cocky confidence. I mean, actually that you can be in your parasympathetic, not be triggered around these things, or not even be defensive. You don't have to try and push your answers onto anybody. You know yourself, you're able to hear different opinions on that and still keep your balance. And hopefully then that from a felt system will allow them to also be more comfortable with speaking with you. And you're going to have a lot easier time a lot of times to be able to hear what they think, because you've already dealt with your own stuff on your own.
Awesome. Super helpful, right? So we got really good strategies to actually start into the process, look at it very differently. I think that's what I'm taking away from this, is a very different approach to engaging, one with yourself, one to engage with the partner, one moving away from externalized things that we've seen and moving much more into the felt sensations, starting to learn some new practices, and then starting to build a relationship where you're talking to yourself, communicating with yourself, so then you can start to bridge the gap with your partner. Meanwhile, focusing on regulation. That's the one thing I continue to hear throughout this whole conversation, is regulation, regulation, regulation. And so really important to stay regulated, because it keeps you, can make choices, right? You can be compassionate, you can be empathetic. So really valuable.
I guess one thing, if I could add, is that if you really feel that, well, you know what, I do not get an erection unless I'm seeing something graphic and pornographic visually. What I'd recommend is take 3 days without ejaculation and see if that changes. Also, another thing is look at if you really feel that you need that visual, maybe it's just the auditory part. So turn off the screen and just listen to the auditory and then eventually even let go of the auditory and see if you can generate your own arousal with your own body. And maybe you'll be visualizing things then from the pornography. But eventually, as I would recommend, again, once you've kind of weaned yourself off of having to physically see it, maybe then you can access it in your mind and then even start to move it into, as opposed to trying to bring up direct pornographic scenes that you see, go and visit the times that you've been with your partner and allow that to become like your own pornography. And then eventually start to play with fantasy in that world. So that way, again, you're tuning in deeply into like what's happening inside the psyche, as well as what's happening into the sensations of the body, and do that as something that is internal to you that then you're able to share with a partner. And you'll find out quickly that this also will help you answer questions around desires, fears, and anxieties, which then also catapults into making a better experience with your partner when you can finally share these things. And what I've found is that couples of 20, 30 years end up finding that the very things that they're interested in and afraid of sharing so many times are the exact same thing that their partner has been thinking about and wanting, but they just were both afraid to say it. And then also there's this huge kind of aha moment. And they're like teenagers again, because they have this whole new area to explore.
I love it.
Come back to all this again, because we have tons of material to talk around how to play with mental arousal. And yeah, anyways,
it's a lot. So good and so much. I'm sure we'll have another conversation about this. And if anybody's listening and wants to go deeper in this, learn more about you, learn more about your methodology, how can they learn more or find more about you?
Well, if they were to go to there's a lot of great free information. If you go to my Instagram handle, Suction Sex, and I'm calling it Suction Sex because there's a whole new way to conceive of sex, to experience the sensation of it, and then embody it differently, which isn't based around friction. So if you go to Suction Sex, at Suction Sex, you will see a ton of free videos, and then there'll be links in there, but you can also just go to bedroommasterclass.com, and there are courses for men to be with women and for women to be with men. So if you want your partner also to find out about themselves as well as you, great place to start. Those two fit together. And then most recently, Dr. Saida Desale and I put together little 9 dates for Suction Sex, which is 9 dates that you and your partner can have that will have you embodying sex and talking about mental arousal in a completely different way. And we've had tremendous results with our beta testers online.
Awesome. So helpful. Highly recommend you check it out. And thanks for tuning in again. And remember to stay battle tested.